one we intend to win.
So, you know, we're here, four of us with, you know, over 30 years collectively of being in crypto, of investing in crypto, of working in crypto. And, you know, crypto is this vertical in the market where you can really, you know, extend your wealth with better chances than traditional investing, which is largely dominated by, you know, the powers that be, gambling, where the odds are against you. And, you know, crypto, the odds aren't necessarily with you, but if you try hard enough and you dedicate yourself and you learn, you get better and better odds. And I think the four of us are a testament of that. I think we have networks that are also a testament of that. And so the fact that the four of us are so tuned in, that we're in the trenches, that we're insiders, so to speak, I think we offer a really great perspective to the people who are intimidated of entering the space. I was once upon intimidated of entering the space. I know plenty of other people who are intimidated. There's a lot of work to do to sift through all the scams, all the rugs, all the nuances, all the language. And it's overwhelming, right? And the four of us made it through, and we're doing quite well with it. And so I think we have a great opportunity here, again, like I said before, to use our perspectives, help people get into the space, help people psych through all the mumbo jumbo, and hopefully come out on top. And, you know, there really is no top, right? That's just infinite. How high can you go? But, you know, for some people, they don't need to go too high. They need some stability in their lives. Gambling is at an all-time high, right? Lottery tickets are being purchased in volumes never seen before in modern history. And that's all a sign of trying times, of people getting more desperate, people taking less bets on themselves, and, you know, kind of leads to nihilism. And in crypto, you're taking a bet on yourself because no one's going to help you through it. And it's very PvP at times and at short bursts of times, which I think we're entering right now. If we're not already in it, it's PvE. But in order to succeed in that PvE environment, you first have to learn how to navigate the space. So I don't know, four of us, I think, are good four to talk about this. You know, like I said, 30 years of collective experience amongst us. Personally, me, started buying Ripple and Litecoin in 2016, heard about Bitcoin when it first came out, didn't do anything because I was a broke college student. And then when I finally got a few extra shekels, I started buying Litecoin and Ripple. And that was the ICO cycle. And I didn't invest a ton of money. I invested what I could, which is also always a good lesson, right? Invest what you can afford to lose. And I rode that to the top of that cycle and rode it all the way to the bottom, right? So, and I was buying the worst things possible. Like I said, Litecoin and Ripple, and then all the ICO runs that were coming out, right? That were just, you know, pump and dumps for real insiders. And I want to help people avoid that. There's so many opportunities in the space. You know, people reach out to me now, asking me about Ripple still, asking me about Cardano. That's not the stuff you want to be buying. The stuff you want to be buying sounds really ridiculous, right? The dog with hat, Popcat, the Pepes, the Frogs. That stuff sounds ridiculous to these people. But if you can bring them in nice and easy instead of just, you know, overwhelming them with ridiculous information at one time, then I think we, you know, have a recipe for success.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, but it's also how people in retail have been investing for like a long time, right? Like, oh, I see everyone at my school is wearing Nike shoes. I'm going to buy Nike stock, right? Like, I see this meme everywhere, I'm going to buy the coin. Like, it's the same type of investing that, like, everyone has iPhones, Apple's going to go up. Everyone's posting Mudang is going to rip, right? Like, it's very similar style of investing. It's just breaking it down and, like, thinking about it at a higher level, I think.
I'll say, though, more than the meme coins, at least the reason that I got into this space and the reason I'm most excited about it and continue to work in it and honestly live and breathe it, only talk about it with all my friends, is that this really is another revolution, or I don't know if revolution is the right word, but it's another phase in technology that we really haven't seen before since the dawn of the internet being invented. I mean, this is a way with blockchain technology and crypto, you know, being a part of it, it's a new way to have ownership, digital ownership of things on the internet, a new way to transact, you know, eliminating the double spend problem, a way to have more transparency, a way to, you know, with financial transactions. Also, there's another level of, you know, having things not being able to be censored, which is a totally, you know, thing that I guess we now unfortunately do have to worry about, given that, let's face it, the governments are a little more authoritarian than they were last year, and definitely than they were 5 years ago. And I would bet moving forward, they're only going to get more authoritarian. So having freedom and censorship resistant ways to transact globally, I think is a pretty big, you know, innovation that comes from this whole space.
I too think the future is authoritarian, but crypto is a great way to hedge against that. It's some, again, like forget the speech type of censorship, like, you know, Bitcoin, right? Ethereum is actually censorship resistant, which is really, really cool, right? And I'm excited to talk about that type or why that technology exists and how it exists later on. But people are into crypto for a lot of different reasons. Some of it is philosophical, you know, against the state, protect from the state, anti-state. Some of it is just strictly about wealth generation. Some of it is about innovative technology, you know, bringing technology into a financial space where it never has to go to sleep, it never has to close up shop, right? So there's all these different reasons, and there's more reasons than I even stated. You know, I discovered Bitcoin because of its anti-authoritarian sentiment. I discovered it through like libertarianism, essentially. And then when I got into it, I realized that this was very much a great way to increase my wealth, which in fact is also a way to protect yourself and buy yourself freedom, right? I mean, I hate to say it, but one of the ways to remain free is to buy your freedom. And so if not at the very least, you can try to do that with crypto if that's what you believe is the reason that you even saw crypto in the first place. I think we take for granted the technology being censorship resistant, and the fact that it can hedge against authoritarianism, because, you know, I think being in the space for a little while can make you a bit cynical. All your peers around you just want to make a bunch of money. And when we're going into a PVE environment like we are right now, super bullish conditions, that's all we can focus on. So I think we take things for granted, you know, especially the fact that it can replace fiat currencies or, again, hedge against currencies like that. And most importantly, help us buy our way out of the authoritarianism that seems to be getting worse and worse every single day. I certainly take that for granted.
Yeah, I think something else that needs to be talked about along those same lines would be like basically a caste system, right? Like, it's not often talked about in the United States, but there is, especially if you look in like higher output industries, like if you look in like finance. Right. If you didn't go to Wharton, you didn't go to Harvard, you're not getting that job at that investment bank, no matter how smart you are. Like, you must work your way up from the bottom. And I like did that. And I realized, like, that's why I came to crypto, right? Is I realized that like there are no classes in Wharton. There are no classes anywhere that anybody can take and then immediately get a job. Like, it's just however much time you want to put into this thing and like learn the ropes, like pretty much on your own. Like, obviously, like, we want to help people avoid scams, but you need some level of like fucking around and finding out, for lack of a better phrase, right? Like, and you can just like do it yourself. Like, you don't have to go take some class. You don't have to pay for a CFA exam. You don't have to get a master's. Like, you hop in the trenches and that's where you get your PhD, right? Like, and that's really why I fell in love with it.
You know, been working in the space professionally for over 3 years. I know all four of us work in the space, and my experience prior to working in crypto, developing business and doing growth work, was in the creative fields and the broadcast fields. And so the only reason I was even given that opportunity is because I basically got my PhD in the trenches, like you said, Mason. And only in this space, I think, can you really break out and get this. You can't do that in any other space. So there's an opportunity too. And that's a, you know, that's because we're still so early. And I think anybody coming into the space now is coming in still at an early stage. And I know that's a meme that we're still so early. You know, crypto is over a decade old. Bitcoin is, you know, become a pretty efficient, you know, commodity since its inception. It obviously still has a ways to go. But, you know, when you look at the volatility and the price action over the last decade, it's certainly, you know, become much more of a mature asset to invest in. But we're still in that wild, wild west phase, which is very important. when you're coming into it, because that's how the space is rampant with scams and rugs, right? Being the wild, wild west, right? A dangerous area, a dangerous part of time to be in. So you really got to be careful and learn how to protect yourself. But the opportunity is just crazy. I know so many people, right, who just didn't necessarily have the professional experience to be doing what they're doing at a crypto company, but now they're in the crypto space, growing different projects, rapidly into the billions, right? So, you know, parallel economy, and that's kind of what we're creating here. And I think, you know, most of us are creating one that's going to help people rather than extract from people. I think traditional finance, the traditional corporate world, very extractive, right?
I've always looked at it as like at crypto as chill finance, just coming from a finance background. Like, it was always just, it had a finance undertone, but it was just more fun and more enjoyable. Like, the people were, I don't want to say more, I mean, more degenerate, not necessarily though, but like just more welcoming. Like, you could go into a chat and say like, hey, I need to figure out how to bridge Solana to whatever chain, and like they will help you find that, and there'll be usually a good solution, and they'll like talk you through it, and just like understanding. When I started like liquidity farming, I know it's probably getting a little deep, but just like, it's a complicated topic, and people in chats just helped me through it and gave me spreadsheets and like taught me about impermanent loss and all the like key things I need to know there.
Well, you bring up a good point, because if sorry if I'm interrupting, but you bring up a good point. There's a lot of information now that you can access to learn about the different things that are in crypto, that are in DeFi, that are in Web3. But, you know, there wasn't always that information. And so I, too, was coming into the space, taking a risk, entering these chats, feeling really overwhelmed, like I was going to embarrass myself of saying something silly or expose myself as a newbie slash normie. But everybody is super, super helpful. They want to see people win. You know, obviously, this space isn't going to grow. We're not going to make money unless it grows. So people want to help onboard others into the space. And, you know, I think one great piece of advice for someone entering the space now would be make a Telegram, make a Discord. I think Telegram is definitely much more important. And I think Twitter as well. And don't be afraid to make friends and join groups and talk to these people and get to know them. You know, a lot of my friends, maybe the majority of my friends, including people I'm seeing in real life nowadays, come from crypto. And so, you know, it's something that it's really hard to enter. Not everybody can do it. And I do think it's becoming easier for people to do it. Yeah, but you can't do it unless you try, right? So you definitely should be just not afraid. DM people on Twitter, even if they seem like a big influencer. DM them and see what's going on. But be careful, because those big influencers, you know, they're the ones who are going to get you, or might try to get you.
Yeah. You know, one thing, you know, you're talking about how easy it is to get involved. And I agree. I think it is easy to get started in crypto. I mean, you get started with a little amount of money. And if you compare it to the traditional finance system, I mean, first of all, you know, we're dealing with crazy inflation for the past few years. Let's face it. We're all feeling it. The people who are affected most by inflation are the, you know, middle and lower income people in America, because over the last, you know, 2 years, 3 years, right, inflation's been rampant. All of our prices have gone up, right? Your gas, your food, pretty much everything you want to buy has gone up in price. But also, your investments have gone up in price. If you had any money in the stock market, if you owned real estate, all of those assets have appreciated in value. Now, rich people, or people who have, you know, assets, they're fine, because their investments and their homes and everything has gone up in value. Even if they are paying more money for everything right now, their assets have gone up in value. The people who don't have assets, you know, the lower income people, right? They don't have a lot of money in the stock market. They probably don't own a home, right? They are the one getting effed more than anyone, because their prices are going up and their income has not gone up, right? Let's face it. All the economic data says income has not risen as much as inflation. And if they have no assets to rise in value, they're just totally getting effed. Now, crypto, so easy to get involved with. And I mean, compared to, you know, getting an account to buy stocks and stuff, I mean, you could start with less money to get into crypto. It's a lot easier to on-ramp into it, right? There's way less, you know, compliance and regulations and all those, you know, forms you have to fill. You actually don't have to fill out any forms to get involved in crypto, honestly. So that is one thing I think this industry does for the world, and for, I guess, serving a different population that our traditional finance system is not serving.
It's a great hedge against the current economic situation, you know. I think it's a form of oppression. You know, COVID was the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind, or at least in modern history, right? So it feels very much like a form of authoritarian oppression. So here we go. Let's go back to the philosophical roots of Bitcoin and, you know, buying our freedom. In crypto, we have a really good chance at buying our freedom. In equities, you definitely do. It's, I think, a very different game, and then a slower game, right? Like, you know, I have a equity, you know, portfolio, a retirement fund. That's not doing nearly as well as my crypto's doing, even though it's continuing to go up. And even though we're recording this in Q4 of 24, this summer was very choppy and equities just kept going up. My crypto is still outperforming those equity positions and buying me the hedge that, you know, my salary, despite working in a great space that pays well, it's not keeping up with inflation. And so you have a lot of Americans who are invested in the market. And I think it's kind of crazy when I see these polls talk about how people aren't actually hurting. You know, there's like half of the country that doesn't realize they're hurting or genuinely not hurting. And that's probably because they have money in the market and they're hedging against that inflation. It's only going to get worse, right? Even if we have some good years coming up. At the end of the day, it's probably not going to sustain and only get worse. So how can you hedge yourself today for the future? How can you buy your freedom and hold on to it, right? That's really what I'm hoping that we can come up with, right? And so we're talking about entering chats. We're talking about just buying with a little money, Jerry, right? You don't need a whole lot. That's why I love the on-chain trenches. Now we're going to get into that. There's a few things before we tell people how to get on chain in the trenches that we got to review, but that's where the real opportunity is. That's, I mean, it's gamblification, right? Of hyper financialized markets, right? Let's just add a bunch of words so we can sound smart, right? But that's kind of what it is. And that's where you can really turn $100 into a shit ton of money. I've seen it. I've done it. And but it is, you know, borderline gambling. Are you going to be safer buying Bitcoin? Are you going to be safer buying the majors? Of course you are, right? And maybe that's all someone needs to know how to do. How do I buy Bitcoin? You know, I want to revisit this in 20, 30 years. You know, I'm 18 years old. I just inherited a bunch of money. How do I buy Bitcoin? I don't want to pay attention. I just want to fuck off. All right, let's help you do that. But there is another opportunity here where if you really are hungry and you really want to hedge yourself and you don't want to get that second job or you don't want to keep fighting the rat race, there's an opportunity here to increase that, you know, wallet size of yours.
Yeah, and but also let's caveat, we're not financial advisors. And also it's not easy. It's easy to look at these people who, like, of course you go on Twitter, like, oh, look at this person who turned $100 into $1 million or $1,000 into $50,000. Like, okay, cool, that's great. Oftentimes that person's getting lucky. It's not, you know, you could do a lot of research and still be wrong. But the more you get involved, the better your chances are. But I do want to say it. I mean, I think it's easier and more likely than versus traditional markets to make huge returns, but it's still not just easy, not automatic, at all.
It gets pretty easy in the bull markets, though. Like 2021, in 2021, everything was going 10x. Anything that was minting was going 10x. It was.
But you got to be here, right? You can't just wait for the bull market. You have to be here. You have to already have yourself set up. You have to already be deploying the money or learning how to trade or whatever other niche you want to follow. You have to already be here. And a lot of people get wrecked because when the market is super, super bullish, everybody starts paying attention, right? The mainstream media talks about it. Your favorite influencers are talking about it. And so people who have no idea what they're doing, oh, now's the time I got to buy. Now's the time I got to buy. And they end up just becoming exit liquidity for those of us who are already here because they're buying the top. And those people are going to come again. They're going to come every time. Markets don't change. People don't change. But there are people as individuals who can change and learn how to do this and, you know, have it benefit themselves. And you got to be here. So yeah, the bull market, super PVE, everybody wins, but only if you're here. There's still going to be losers at the end of the day.
I'll say this. I jumped in 2021 because I had a lot of time on my hands because I had a business and COVID was hitting and business was slow. So I learned about NFTs, and as an artist, it was super interesting to me. And so that's kind of what got me involved. And then I just became super passionate about everything as I learned more and more, mainly the decentralization component, and then also the tech and how those work together. But then also the whole point about buying your freedom. So like of the four of us, I'm the most recent entry, and this is my second cycle. Like I'm doing like more than fine right now because I wanted to learn it, and I did, and right. I just worked really hard at understanding it and becoming as good as I could be. And like the opportunity is there is my point, because the dollar's on a fast track to zero, it seems. It's only going to get less and less or more and more devalued. So yeah, I mean, you know, the point of this whole thing is sort of to explain why we're here and why we think you as the audience should, you know, it would be beneficial for you to also join, because I think we care about our fellow people and Americans in the world, and then want to kind of share the wealth, but you know, no pun intended. I mean, more so the knowledge.
The bar is low, but it's heavy, and the barrier of entry seems tough and overwhelming.
It's a steep learning curve, I don't really think it's something that not everyone can, you know, really do if you want to.
Yeah, I will say, so last bull market was awesome. It was amazing. A lot of wealth was created there. And as you know, we know, and hopefully the audience knows, crypto moves in cycles, you know, a couple of year cycles, as it has historically and likely will continue given Bitcoin's halving and market cycles, which we'll definitely cover in more in depth. But I will say that I think that the 2021 bull market was different and very unique. And I don't know if we're going to experience that again, because when that happened, that was right during COVID. And a few things were happening during COVID. Number one, people weren't going out and spending money. You couldn't go out to bars and restaurants. You couldn't travel. So a lot of people had more savings than they typically did, as long as they kept their job. There were stimulus checks that everyone got. A lot of people threw that into, you know, Robinhood or into crypto, sort of investing of some sort. And then number three, the thing that I think a lot of people are kind of discounting is that people had so much more time on their hands than they do now, and that they did before, right? Because it was COVID. People had so much more time on their hands. What were you doing? A lot of people were locked in the house. And I mean, I know that's what happened to me. I was always into crypto before that, but you know, I had so much more time on my hand. I started watching way more YouTube videos about it. I started playing around on chain a lot more, learning a lot more. So because I simply had nothing else to do. And I know so many people who, not even in crypto, but you know, with stocks, like, oh, I became a day trader during that time, or I learned how to do options and stuff during that time. So our next bull market, which, you know, some people would say that it started already and we're in it now. I personally think we are in it a little bit. I think it's going to continue and get a lot bigger and better in 2025. But the difference is your average person doesn't have as much time on their hands and doesn't have as much liquidity and money to just throw around like we did during COVID. So I do think this bull market is going to be a little different, probably not as big. But then again, who knows? Because it's crypto. Who knows?
Yeah, but you're seeing gambling at like all. You can't walk into a bar and not see at least 50 people throwing parlays on every game, right? Or all your friend groups like must do parlays just to watch sports. Are people trading Pokemon cards, ripping those packs? Like, it's just gotten so like monetized that I think like once the proper like rails are there for people to easily get on chain, like there needs to be almost a map, right? It's like a video game. Like I'm coming onto Ethereum, like where do I go, right? Like, because searching what's the best, like people don't even know the term decentralized exchange, right? Like you're not gonna, as somebody new to the space, you're not gonna type what's the best DEX into Google and like search your, like what words do you put together as somebody that has no knowledge of the space, right? So some kind of like simplified way that they can easily find the things they need to find is probably needed. But then once that happens and there's easy onboarding, like it's really not that big of a stretch to take those people that are parlaying everything to gamble on meme coins and memes, right? Or to you know, people that are day trading 0-day options, all of those people, like those returns are much, much higher in the crypto space. And as soon as they see it once, they get sucked in.
Yeah. I mean, the gambling being at an all-time high, I mean, as you can see, like, financial data, right? Like, look at the DraftKings and FanDuel, the earnings that they have. It's crazy. Like, 2-3 years ago, people weren't able to gamble on sports really that easily at all. Now you can do so much of it just right in the palm of your hand so easily. It's, I do wonder if that's a problem for society in general, but we'll see. But one thing I did want to kind of circle back on, because you mentioned Pokemon cards, and that reminded me, I missed out on NFTs. I know you guys were really into NFTs and you guys did well on NFTs. I missed out on that. The reason I missed out on that is because I wasn't open-minded. I looked at NFTs. I said, this is stupid. Who's gonna buy a picture of a monkey on the blockchain, right? I thought that was stupid, and I totally missed out on it. It was so stupid. And I think that people buying Pokemon cards and all that stuff right now, I also think that's kind of dumb. But you know what? There are people making a ton of money doing it. So one thing I would say to anyone getting into crypto is you got to be open-minded. And you can't just you know, make the mistakes that I did, which is saying, that's stupid. No one's going to do it. I also missed out on Dogecoin because I thought, Dogecoin has no value. Dogwiz hat has no value. I did get on that one, actually. But you know, looking at these meme coins, you know, I'm like, what the hell is this? This makes no sense at all. But you know what? A lot of people made money on it. So you can't be closed-minded in this space at all.
Yeah, I mean, Dogecoin is what pushed. Yeah, it is. It's a great point. I mean, Dogecoin is what pushed me onto chain. Because like I was working at the bank, and there's like strict rules on trading there, right? So I saw the beginning of GameStop, but I had to declare a trade, hold it for at least 30 days, ask him if I could sell when I wanted to sell. So I was like, I'm not going to do all that. And I just found Dogecoin and bought it at like 0.4 cents. And that's what gave me like a good bag to go onto chain. And then I just went deeper and deeper down it. But I just think, yeah, like once it'll become easier, right? Like regulation, that's another big point. Like you mentioned that you can gamble on DraftKings and like do most sports gambling. You can even do like live betting in the palm of your hand in some states, right? Like, as that stuff, and that all comes with regulation, right? Like it's opened up state by state by state. Like a gambling license in the United States is so hard to get because you need every state. You need a license in every state. It's not one for the US. So like as that regulation works through, I'm assuming it's probably going to be similar for like exchanges and on-ramping of crypto. It's probably going to be state by state. So it may take a little bit of time, but it'll get there.
So, you know, we talked about some of the first few steps that somebody should take to enter the space. And then we also kind of talked about like how we see the space growing. We see the signs out there. We see things getting worse. We see people making less money relative to inflation. We see more people getting desperate in gambling. Gambling is a losing game. You know, Jerry, we don't have to talk about philosophy right now, but the way gambling's taking off, it is going to be detrimental for society, right? Doesn't end well. So people are more desperate. They're gambling. They want entertainment while they're making money. When have we had that in the history of the world? You know, now might be the only time is we get to watch sports and try to make money. We get to invest in meme coins and make memes and consume memes and make money. So people are more desperate. They want to hedge against inflation. They want to hedge against authoritarianism. The first few steps someone needs to make, get on Telegram, get on Twitter. If you think that's a gross idea, if you get good at this, you can get off of Twitter eventually, but you got to get on Twitter right now. You got to make sure you get on Telegram. You got to join some chats. We'll direct you to some great follows. We'll direct you to some great chats. And then you also got to just put a little bit of money on your regional or national on-ramping service. You know, we're state-based. Coinbase is a very popular centralized exchange that we can onboard with. They're not the only ones out there. I'm not endorsing them specifically, but they're easy to use. Get some money into a wallet. We'll get you to the next steps, but that's how you can set yourself up. And if you're listening to this at the end of 2024, you're still early. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a hunt and say, if you're listening to this in a year, it's probably going to be still really relevant and you're probably going to still be really, really early. This is a long-term gain, but there's a lot of big short-term gains that you can get during this long-term game.
I agree that you're still early and it's easy to look at day-to-day prices and say, oh, this is up, this is down. But I truly think that crypto and blockchain is really a big, almost like a transformation, huge, gigantic, innovation that's happening across technology as a whole. And that when you look at that, that's not something you look at on a day-to-day basis. It's something you have to zoom out and look at. Look at the adoption of crypto and how much it's grown. Look at the price appreciation over a longer time frame. that's what we're here for. And I think, you know, just trying to get rich quick is not the way to really play this industry. It's to really be in it for the long haul and appreciate that this is, like I said, a technological revolution, innovation, change that's happening in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there's one data point I would point to say that you're early still is all of crypto combined is still smaller than Apple's market cap.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Good point.
I didn't realize that either. I think that's a great note to end this episode on. All of crypto's market cap is smaller than Apple's. That's crazy. So the flippening is near. Because that challenge